G.I. Joe Sigma 6, code name for a highly trained special mission force. Its objective, stop Cobra, stop Cobra.
Sigma 6, be a hero.
G.I. Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best.
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. What high octaves I'm speaking at today. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race Decanus.
No, I just recently listened to an episode from 2017, and I assure you, your voice has crumbled. It sounds like an old man in a retirement home.
Which has deteriorated more, his voice or his entire body?
I mean, it's not a video podcast. We have no records of what he looked like in 2017.
Sometimes we post pictures.
I do not look at those pictures.
No, do not. Oh my gosh, there's a picture from when we first started. And I know you guys know the ones where we put the things in our hair.
Yeah. Oh, yep. I was
and
thinking
you know that picture. Do not look at that picture. Do not look at that picture.
No, the one that is worse. And when I say worse, I mean for you two, because I look hotter every year. Is the one where we had clearly just started because we're all holding our little cutouts of our characters. Like I'm holding my Baroness cutout.
I feel like that's like a couple years in.
No,
didn't Jordan do that for us?
I want to say that was when we were recording at the Chanchion North originally.
Yes, it was.
So that would have been year one or two.
Yeah, I think it was like a pretty early on thing.
I want to say 2016. That's what I'll say.
Look at that picture, which we should totally recreate at some point, just to really mark the passage of time.
Terrible idea.
I love it. I think every 5 years of this podcast, we should take another aging photo.
So there's a picture above my TV that we got taken and I got blown up on a canvas of the day we adopted our daughter, right? Wonderful day. 2018 was the day. And my beard is all full red. There's no gray in it. And my kid, she says to me, she sees the picture. She goes, Daddy, why is your beard so gray now? And I just sort of looked at her and I'm like, I wonder what happened between then and now. It gets stressful. That's what I'm saying. It'll wear you down. And it apparently drops 3 octaves from your voice. The only reason I said that is because TV's Robert Clark Chan, TV's Gina Ippolito here with me today, since no one will introduce themselves.
Listen, if Chan doesn't do it, I can't do it. He's the holdup. He causes the 10-car pileup that makes influence. Me not be able to.
You know what,
to.
Gina? You're 100% correct. 100% blame goes to Chan.
When he does it correctly, do it correctly. There's no pileup.
The thing is, if Chan knows he's supposed to do it and there's no guest here to prompt him to be good, he's not going to be good. He's just not. He's going to say, oh, I see what you want me to do. I am Michigan J. Frog. I will not be singing right now.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime girl.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the dynamic of this show in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. So Chan, you recently listened to our Bruno the Kid episode from 2017, and you said me and you both sound remarkably different on that episode.
I said you.
I was kind of hoping to lump you in with me.
Here's the thing. I listened to about 45 seconds of that podcast.
That's all you needed. That's all you needed.
Are you sure it was Ray that you were listening to?
Thank you. Who knows? I could have been in New York working on Murphy Brown at that time.
I mean, he did say your voice was several octaves higher. Maybe it was me.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
You know
what?
This is now a conspiracy.
I have to take the supposed host at their word when they said that they were Ray and that Gina was away writing a network television show, but in fact making Jello shots.
So I guess Jello shots for the 4th of July.
Yeah. They are equally good reasons to miss a podcast.
Not even drinking them like we were recording on the 4th of July and, you know, like I have a party or whatever like that. Just making.
Do you know how many hours it takes to make over 200 different flavored, different colored Jell-O shots that are still patriotic for the 4th of July?
You could plan better and like not make that time during our podcasting time.
Listen, I don't set when holidays are. You can't make Jell-O shots 2 days in advance. They get rubbery.
I mean, you make good points, Jan.
You know what? I choose not to support your alcoholism. I am going to be the snobby, straight edge guy who's like,
You've probably had more of those Jell-O shots than I have over the years.
But probably.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Anyway, we are back with more Sigma 6, everybody. This is episode 2 of season 2. Of G.I. Joe Sigma 6. The episode is called Invasion. I don't know exactly why it's called Invasion. And I don't know why the previous episode was called Hidden. I'll go ahead and say it.
I can explain this to you.
Oh, thank God.
The previous episode was called Hidden because there was a hidden person behind the scenes that does not get revealed until the last couple of minutes.
But this they don't really get revealed, do they? We still don't technically know who they are. No. So wouldn't this episode be called Still Hidden?
No, because last episode it was the fact that it was not Hawk, who's the other guy, Stone.
Stone, yeah.
That like we don't know, we didn't really see Stone until the end. So okay. Stone okay. was yeah, the yeah. one that was hidden because there were hidden people looking out for the Joes okay. or sabotaging the Joes.
You know what? Yeah. Okay. I can get behind that.
This one is called Invasion because their entire ship is invaded from within and without.
Yeah, but it's a computer virus. Wouldn't sabotage have been a better name?
It works on multiple levels.
Thank you, Chan. Thank you.
Wow. Wait, not Chan. Well, minor, it doesn't minor, work minor, minor
on multiple levels, but it does work on multiple levels.
I did appreciate that this episode opens with a last time on Sigma 6.
Helpful. Me too.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me know what we just watched. Sometimes it's been a while, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would like to know. Thank you for telling me. Look, every time Game of Thrones would do a previously on, I'd be like, I remember that character now from 3 seasons ago. Bet they died today.
Yeah, it is helpful to know who's being murdered because they don't forget this guy exists. Okay.
You know, my favorite part of the Game of Thrones entire series is when they had this wonderful storyline, like subversive storyline, with the blacksmith blacksmith kid being the actual true heir to the throne. And then they put him on a boat halfway through the show and then never talk about him ever again.
Which also, speaking of which, whatever happened to Hawk's kid?
Well, he did appear in the finale. He was in Zeus Part 1 and 2, if I remember correctly.
Is that why Hawk's not around? He's like a politician that's like, I realized I had to spend more time with my family. No, this has nothing to do with that man in the public bathroom that I fucked.
Yeah, regrettably, Scott is the Hunter Biden of G.I. Jones.
Okay.
He brought cocaine into the pit. That's all I'm trying to say.
Is that how he made the robot dog come to life? It was cocaine?
Gina, the thing you need to understand, that robot dog never came to life. It was purely the drugs that Scott was on. And Cobra was like, I need them drugs.
Good to know.
That's how it went. So Agent N27, they say it a few times, Cobra Agent N27 has reported
the N-word. Just to, keep
look, I felt easier. Uncomfortable. I felt very uncomfortable about it. Yes.
You can also just yell bingo at any point during the show and feel smart, funny.
Feel enough. Cobra Commander is on the case. He says it's the next phase of the Terror Drome Project. And I love it when a show does this, when a reboot. When a different take on a property calls something like they kind of mess with the terminology. The Sonic the Hedgehog did this at the extra scene for Sonic the Hedgehog 2, they go like Project Shadow. And yeah, it's going to be Shadow the Hedgehog, but they call it Project Shadow. So it's like some top secret undercover government operation to set up the third movie. I'm into it. I'm also into Terrordrome Project. Let's go. It's not an actual Terrordrome. It's just what we called this very loose set of ideas that we're working with.
Yeah, I also love this. I love it anytime there's like something that they know the audience knows, but they don't spell it out too much. There's just like a sound sting.
I like it. A sound sting.
It's like if one of us, let's just say if next week one of us dies, or we think one of us dies, and then like 3 years from now on our podcast, we're like, we're like we have found a new guest, a new host, and then we're like, next week we have a very exciting guest. Let's just say there's a chance someone wasn't dead. And then it's like,
wait a minute. Are you saying that Gambit is going to be the host?
Yeah.
Listen, I couldn't think of G.I. Joe music that everyone knows fast enough. And I've been writing X-Men breakdowns for new rock stars for the past 3 weeks. It's all that's in my head.
So what I love about this is we have just theorized that me or Chan, definitely not Gina, died in the next week. Mm-hmm. Very, very plausible, quite honestly.
I mean, she already, beforehand, she was talking about giving our names to some executive who clearly wanted us talk about taken this out.
Yes. She wants us to, look, Gina, look, here's the deal. I'm going to steal your spotlight. Gina talked to some high-powered executives. And she happened to mention, I'm on Knowing Is Half the Podcast. He goes, that's great. Who are your co-hosts? And she described me and Chan in the worst way physically possible.
No, I described you as you actually are after trying to avoid the question. Yeah, the worst way
physically possible. You got to embellish a little. Let's go.
When someone in a meeting asks who your co-hosts are, they want you to say Daniel Tosh.
Yeah. I mean, you could just say Daniel Tosh. That's
yeah,
fine.
You should have said Daniel Tosh.
I'll do my best Tosh impression.
They want you to say Amy Schumer and Daniel Tosh. And I started out by saying, oh, yeah, I co-hosted with two other comedians. I put you on the same level as me. And then they said, oh, what have they done? What are their names? And then I said,
let me get back to you.
I actually did say...
Uh-oh. Oh, now we find out.
You didn't even hear the whole story. God damn it.
I actually did say, have you heard of the Who Would Win podcast? And he said, no. And I said, what about a wrestling podcast called AEW?
What about a wrestling podcast? Any of them. Have you heard of one? Yeah, he's on there.
No. And then I said, okay.
I mean, to be fair, they hadn't heard of Knowing Is Half the Podcast until you told them about it either. So I don't feel
yeah, but you're always
so
bragging
bad
about how Who Would Win is much more popular.
It's way more popular, Gina. It is 10 times more popular than this show. I have the metrics to prove it.
That is not saying a whole lot.
Look, Who Would Win? I'm going to say right now. Who Would Win show is in the top 10% of downloaded podcasts in the United States of America. That is not to be argued.
That can't be true.
There's no way that's true.
No, it's here's the deal. It's 100% true. I promise you. I will tell you off air how I know. And Knowing It's Half the Podcast is in the top 50% of all podcasts.
Seems very unlikely.
I'm telling you, that's how many podcasts there are, Chan.
Yeah. Okay. Like, when you do the numbers, you're like a really unique person, out of 7 billion people, it seems the numbers kind of overwhelm you. But like, I guess probably everybody in the world now has at least one podcast. So
what if we hear me out. You're going to say no to this off the bat, but I want you to really go home and think about it. What if we started Highlandering every other podcast host until we are the only ones left? I realize it sounds like that might take the rest of our lives, but mm-hmm. I think three of us can take down a lot of podcast hosts.
Well, if you behead another podcast host, you don't get their listeners. That's the first flaw in your plan.
But they've got to go somewhere.
The second is that we would not have time to do the podcast because we would be busy beheading other podcast hosts. So
I'm sure we could iron out. That's the question I have, Gina.
How much extra time do you have per day?
I'm sure we could iron out the kinks. All we need to do is make a spreadsheet.
Number three, I'm not really much of a sword guy anymore. So like,
no, I'm assuming we would poison their microphones.
Ooh, that's okay. Well, then we would have to start with the hosts who actually put their mouth on the microphone and possibly suck it, possibly eat the microphone. Jesus.
Gina, I'm the only one dying in this plan.
I could see you accidentally poisoning your own microphone and then not realizing it.
Yeah.
Me too. Anyway, we go back to the Sea Titan. Now, the Sea Titan.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
I can't believe I didn't pause.
I forgot about that one. That's a good one.
That's a really good one. Look, this Cobra Commander actor is getting it done. I'm just saying.
He's doing okay.
He's no Frank Todaro, but we'll accept him.
You know, he's second tier. He's A tier, not S tier.
Isn't everybody compared to Frank?
Yeah.
I love the fact that we're now on the Sea Titan submarine G.I. Joe base. This is where we are now. This is our new world order. And Lieutenant Stone turns to High Tech and says, High Tech, here's the keys to the ship. Fuck with whatever you want.
Yeah, this is what you should do if you're ever given like a super expensive thing. Like if someone is like, here's a Bugatti, Ray.
I love it.
Take a crap in it if you want, sir.
If Andrew Tate ever gave me a Bugatti, I guarantee I would take a crap in it. So that is accurate.
Wait, are all the Bugattis that are left in the world all owned by Andrew Tate?
Sadly, they are. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Regretful.
I disagree with you because I feel like if you have a tech nerd, you just give him your shit. He's like, look, I have this computer. I've got all this fancy audio equipment. It's here. Do something with it. And they're going to do something with it.
Oh, Chan, I will disagree with you. If you give a tech nerd all your shit, next thing you know, your base submarine is mining Bitcoin and the servers fry.
You know what? I think if you give it to a podcast co-host, they might do that.
Could be anybody. Be anybody we're talking about right now.
A person who actually knows what they're doing with technology probably would not.
I love that story.
You killed
so
Ray.
Much.
This is exactly what I said coming to life.
Does that mean we get his Who Would Win listeners?
I mean, honestly, that would be good for the show.
You know, James would have him replaced within 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but all the listeners would be here now. Oh. So they get the ship back online. Okay, now let's cut back to Destro. I love Destro. He's one of my absolute favorite characters, obviously Cobra Commander as well.
Destro's, and I do love that. I love Destro too, and he's a real bitch in this one, and I'm here for it. Like, he is a bitch.
He eats poop, but I think he retains his own space. I really do.
I mean, like, he's not, I don't mean like he's like Cobra Commander's bitch. I mean, like, he's like a bitch, like, every time Cobra Commander, a catty bitch. Like, every time Cobra Commander, you know, goes outside of earshot, Destro's like, geez, like, someone's got his period today.
No, I got your back.
Priority message from Cobra Commander.
Yes, everything's a priority with Cobra Commander.
I love it. I love bitchy Destro.
I love it. I think it's a little bit of a throwback to Sunbow G.I. Joe. I do feel that in this version, they're a little more antagonistic to each other and a little less polite. So I didn't care for it as much, but I did really like it a lot.
Yeah, it's the relationships between the High Command in Cobras is not, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Wait, are you talking about the episode? You was that your review of the episode or just bitchy Destro?
Well, no, just the fact that like Cobra Commander is being such a jerk and like being overt about it too. Like, if you fail, it's your fault. If you succeed, it was all my doing. I'm like, dude, you don't tell your underlings that. You think it. And you do it, but you don't say it to their face.
That does That's feel like thing. Something that, it, like, that, you know, wasn't in a writer's first draft. And then the execs were like, okay, so what's, like, Cobra Commander's attitude here? And the writer was like, oh, well, it's very much a, if you do this right, it was my idea, if you do it's right. And they were, and, like, the exec was like, ooh, spell that out. And they were like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah, that checks.
Yeah, because that's exactly a thing Cobra Commander and original Sunbow would do. But it's nothing he would say out loud.
Also, I think that is kind of the difference between, or the reason why this episode took such a nosedive in quality over the last episode. I feel like they were so busy doing stuff last episode that they didn't really have time to get out this kind of nonsense. It was like, you know what? We're just going to do the thing. We're not going to tell you about the thing. And then here they've got a little more space. They're like, all right, we're going to spell it out for the slow people.
Yeah, a little few too many reaction scenes, but not enough action scenes. Whereas the previous episode was wall-to-wall action scenes where the show couldn't get it in its own way with dialogue.
This one felt pretty action-y to me. Like once, this one went pretty quickly, I think.
I mean, look, once you transform your little boat into an SDF-1, you're going to get some excitement going there, but I don't know there was actually that much action. They launched a couple missiles, but not wall to wall.
They shot at the boat.
They shot at it. They got
they
near
shot
it.
At it. Yeah. Look, I love the fact that Destro like whines and complains. I didn't ask for the sound poll, but I did mark it here that everything is a priority with Cobra Commander, and I'm like, that's delightful.
Yep. Yeah,
I've had those bosses before, and they are interminable.
Yep.
Chan, you know, they don't let you work from home.
No. I'm doing very nicely with my office now.
Guys, don't mind me. I'm just trying to get Robert Clark Chan in trouble at work. Don't. That's the only. That's literally my only goal. It has nothing to do with anything. Carry on.
He's too smart to tell people he works with that he does a podcast.
100% lesson learned over many long years.
Oh, I tell everybody I work with that I do a podcast. It's called the Who Would Win Show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what that is.
Oh, God damn it. What are you, an executive in Hollywood? The point I'm trying to make is Cobra Commander tells Destro, change of plans. I'm giving you coordinates, head there. You were going to test your vulture jets out here. You're actually going to test them in live fire against G.I. Joe. Send them in. I'm into it.
Hey, can I say for the record that I was really expecting more from these vulture jets than we got?
Something
cool, look a little cool. They just look like normal ass planes and did normal ass plane things.
They were boring ass jets. You know what? Take out the word vulture. Call them Aaron Rodgers jets because they sank before the season started. Wow. Not the first football reference I'm about to make, everybody.
Actually, it is the first football reference you're about to make.
Not the last football reference I'm about to make, everybody.
That's probably a little more accurate.
Did you know the Michigan Wolverines just won the national championship?
That's not a reference. That's just a straight up fact drop.
Mm-hmm.
That is data.
I went to the Rose Bowl. It was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, it's Tunnel Rat. That's what I wrote right here in my notes right here. I was so happy last episode because there was no Tunnel Rat.
And Tunnel Rat gonna Tunnel Rat.
Oh, this oh, is... we We have multiple tunnel rat abomination sequences about to incoming, if you will.
And he drags not roadblock with him.
But at least he's eating real food this episode. I mean, his bugs are referenced, but like, at least he's eating normal, healthy, delicious foods.
But then he friggin' drags dude bro, and with it, they just start eating cold sausages out of the fridge.
Hell
yeah. This is a problem I have with anime, is apparently in the world of anime, in the zeitgeist of anime,
everyone loves to eat.
Human beings just walk to a fridge, open the fridge, and just start hauling things into their mouth from the fridge. There's no preparation. There's no heating anything up.
That's how I eat.
Grab things and eat them.
Yes, that is how people should eat.
No,
that is outrageous. What are you talking about?
Yes. Link's sausages. Like a big old
they're pre-cooked. Or maybe they're like the little
Gina, have you eaten a pre-cooked sausage cold?
I would not, but I'm also like weird about meat. But like the little jars of like tiny sausages, little jarred sausages.
Vienna sausages.
Yeah, I'd eat a cold Vienna sausage.
Yeesh.
Also gross, just for the record.
I would not. If I got a little smoky, I would pop it in the microwave like a normal human being.
Little smokies are one of the most delicious foods on the planet. Mm-hmm. Would never dream of eating them cold.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's outrageous.
What
if
you cook it and then it like sits at room temperature for like a little while and it's a little still cold? Good. Would you eat it then?
Still good. Fine. Yes, I would.
Like yanked right from the goddamn refrigerator.
Yeah,
maybe someone had just cooked them and had just put them back in the refrigerator, so they're still
all
kind
the lights are off and there's no one in there. They specifically reference that there's no one in the kitchen. Gina, this fabrication of yours makes no sense.
Yeah, I did like that Firefly is here, like enabling them on their quest. It shows that it kind of, you know, we're not being lazy about the betrayal that no doubt down the line we're going to see. He is going out of his way to be useful to the good guys.
Yeah.
Also, at one point, Tunnel Rat is double donging these cold sausages, and I am not enjoying that.
Does that mean Lady and the Tramping?
That means he's holding one sausage in each hand. And rubbing his mouth on one after another back and forth.
How do you eat sausages, Ray? Mr. Fancy?
That was Gina's next.
The answer is exactly like that. And I'm just angry that a character I hate is mimicking me.
I mean, we'll get there at some point, but like, this was a cool Firefly episode.
Honestly, yes, he has a moment that's like, I just wrote here, bamf.
Like,
ready for that.
I mean, he's pretty cool the whole episode, which I like, because I thought for sure they would reveal him in this episode. Like, I was like these shows are not good at playing the long game.
Yeah.
They like introduce shit and then resolve it immediately. So I thought for sure it would be resolved. And the fact that it wasn't, but that they were like, hey, you can kind of see why people think he's cool, right? And like might not want to think that he's the traitor.
This scene, yes. The scene at the end where he goes ham on all the bats, yes. The tomato scene.
Oh, no, we'll get... No, the tomato scene deserves its own... its own moment, Robert Clark Chan.
That would win me over in a second, crap. By the way.
I'm going to try and hold my tongue.
Hold up for that for a second, because our heroes here get caught, and they're going to go on Operation Diet. It is a thing. So let's get away from this storyline. And The Rock, the vehicle, we're familiar with it from last season. It's been upgraded. Long Range is happy with this. There is a high tech, you know, our tech guy, high tech. He is now upgrading all of the vehicles, and we meet a new fancy Jeep called the Vamp. The Vamp, ladies and gentlemen, not particularly impressive of a vehicle.
Not really. No,
it's because it's the vehicle that you that is vamping while you wait for the good vehicle, like the opening act at a stand-up show.
Exactly. While I'm waiting on the actual cool thing to show up, here's the vamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is where, okay, Chan, here we go. Now we go to Firefly and Tunnel Rat are on the top of the ship, this submarine, submersible battleship vessel. And they're resting. They're getting some sun. They're hanging out. At which point, Heavy Duty comes in on them. We have a scene. Firefly has given Tunnel Rat a whole tomato to eat. And, Chen, do you want to talk about what Tunnel Rat does with this tomato?
I have sent you a screenshot of it.
Oh, is there a new screenshot of the tomato here? Oh, God. Oh, no.
Ew, I don't care for that. I don't care for that. Although that is how long my tongue is and how I eat tomatoes.
Drink it in.
I'm just going to call it what it is. Body horror.
Yep.
His tongue is much longer than Gene Simmons could have ever been in his Kiss era days. He eats the tomato whole with a tongue that reaches out no less than 2 feet from his body.
The gimmick of him like eating whatever, great. You want to do a gag where he just like horfs a tomato. A tomato is a weird choice. It's a weird choice for Firefly to be carrying around. It's a weird choice for these two to be seriously into.
Disagree. If this was New Jersey and someone pulled out a Jersey fresh tomato, everyone would be on it.
Okay, I'm going to expand that sentence a little for you. If someone pulled out a Jersey fresh tomato from
New Jersey.
No. Where are they carrying that Jersey fresh tomato?
In a tomato sack.
There is no tomato sack on Firefly's military uniform.
I assume he has a utility belt and one of the pockets is filled with tomatoes.
He ends up handing out, I want to say, 5 tomatoes.
Three tomatoes total.
So you think he kept them in his butt?
I don't know where they were, but a tomato, as opposed to say an apple. If there was an apple, I'd be like, okay, he's carrying around apples. Apples, you know, can be crunchy and hard.
Look,
you know,
I'm in favor of Tunnel Rat ingesting that much arsenic.
A tomato.
Who carries a tomato in their pocket?
Who carries multiple tomatoes?
3 tomatoes ever. In their pocket.
Listen, if this was still like the 90s and I was wearing some cargo pants, I might have a tomato in one of those pockets.
What are you even talking about right now?
I'm just going to check real quick here and see if Firefly is wearing JNCOs. No, he's not. There's nowhere to hold that weird ass tomato, and there's no reason for him to have a goddamn tomato.
Yes, there is. Tomatoes are, do you know how many tomatoes I eat in a day?
Look, there's a lot of antioxidants. I appreciate that. Don't eat them whole, including stem.
Yeah, the stem part is weird. You absolutely eat them whole. You just take a bite and then shake on a little salt and then take another bite, shake on a little salt.
What is happening right now?
I understand where you're coming from.
Yes, thank you.
The logistics of it do not make sense. And if you are trying, they're doing the thing where like he's a cool guy, but also a little bit of like,
he's a bad boy.
What are you doing? Are you trying to like bribe these people so that they're, you know, friends with you? Are you trying to get them hooked on something like a drug dealer? There's just like a little gray area there where he's being a little bit weird about it. You should be a little suspicious of him. But tomato is just crazy pants, crazy town. It's bananas. I don't understand. I don't like it at all. It does not belong.
I mean, I will say that there is a chance that maybe he was supposed to like give them candy and this was like an exec note. I mean, this was like prime
right
fucking healthy eating days when
100%.
Who is president right now during this episode? Is this Obama times?
This is George W. Bush.
Yeah.
2006. Okay. Six. But I mean, there were like a lot of healthy eating initiatives that were started in the 2000s. That's, so it's possible that they were like, oh, have him give him like a jelly baby, like a cool thing that Doctor Who offers. And some exec was like, it needs to be something healthy, like an apple. And then they were like, nah, we want to make it. We don't want to do apple. That's like, that's Squaresville. Let's make it a tomato.
And that's crazy town.
Yeah, that is bonkers.
Which one do you want, Squaresville or crazy town?
What I love about this insanity happens in front of us. And then they have a full conversation about, is Lieutenant Stone too uptight? You guys are eating tomatoes whole with your prehensile tongues, asking, throwing shade at literally any other human being. No, no to this. Stone is right and you're wrong. I don't care what the question is.
Yeah, I don't want to be on Stone's side, but I kind of have to be here because these people are not right.
Yeah, and Heavy Duty eats a tomato, and then there's a third tomato, and he gives it to Tunnel Rat, and Heavy Duty's like, hey, man, got another tomato for me? And I just question all the everything I've ever done in life. I don't know how I got here, and I'm not happy about it. At which point, you know, they comment, oh, I have Firefly. He's a real cool dude. But he only brought three tomatoes.
Give me another tomato when I listen to anything.
See?
That was horrifying.
Like such low standards. Like
eating bugs.
Yeah.
Give me
another tomato and I'll suck your dick.
In the realm of a drug dealer.
Now, Chan, I feel it's a little bit like too opening the curtain to show how we kept Gina on the show for 8 years.
But I guess if we have to reveal, it's just been tomatoes. We hold out a tomato. Gina sucks it into her mouth with a 2-foot-long tongue.
Listen, depending on the job, I would let someone pay me in like really, really, really good tomatoes.
I mean, Gina, this is why you're such a brilliant talent, but such a terrible business person.
I spend a lot on tomatoes in a week.
That I also believe. Oh my gracious.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
This is it, the new G.I. Joe Devilfish on a high-speed recon mission.
There's Hawk, the new Joe Commander. That's Beachhead, the Ranger. And that's Winston.
Devilfish has 2 torpedoes and twin guns on top, and they're gonna need it, because here comes Cobra.
Cobra's got a new hydro set, and that's real dangerous with G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
Live the adventure of G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe Devilfish, Cobra Hydro Sled, and Cobra and Joe figures each sold separately.
Joe!
Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
All right, now here's the deal. Destro's here. Destro is ready to attack. Somebody replaced the G.I. Joe Sigma 6 chips with branded Cobra chips. Which means there's been an invasion, everybody.
Thank you.
That does mean there's been an invasion, or there's about to be an invasion.
Yeah, here's the deal. Attack is on. Every single vehicle has been upgraded with the exception of the Vamp and what I thought was the Dragonfly, but is the Dragon Hawk. It's not quite the Wild Bill Dragonfly. It is
a drone version
of the Dragonfly and way less cool.
I wish they would bring him back.
Oh my God. If Wild Bill showed up in an anime show, I don't even care if it's this one. If Wild Bill showed up on Bleach, I'd be into it.
Mustaches in anime shows? I feel like facial hair is usually verboten.
I'm just going to say right now, hashtag bring Wild Bill to Chainsaw Man. That's what I want to see. I'm into it.
Fair enough.
So obviously, because the everything's been corrupted, the Vamp and Dragonfly are the only 2 vehicles that will be in play later.
And they sort of like telegraph that ahead of time, like everything's plugged in except for these 2 things.
Yeah. You know what? Good writing. I like that. I like that they
did
that.
That's fine. Yeah. You know what else is good writing? The not at all ham-fisted and shoehorned in diversity that we have on the G.I. Joe team.
You know me well, amigo.
You know me well, amigo. Listen to my very thick Mexican accent.
Now, here's the deal. Was that spirit? I say through clenched teeth. I don't actually know the answer.
That was that
spirit, because he's been on the show and we haven't seen him and he needs a place.
No, not.
It could have been spirit. How did we feel about the laughing cobra logo?
I thought it was fine up until Duke, as all of the green G.I. Joe screens are being covered up with this laughing red cobra. After like 10 minutes, Duke is like, it's Cobra. Is that what, are you sure that's what, because I don't know if there's enough clues yet to establish properly that was Cobra doing
the
this
symbol of our one good enemy.
It gave me some good Jurassic Park vibes. I wanted Cobra to be like, you didn't say the magic word.
I love the Cobra symbol. I would argue right now, the Cobra logo is a top five all-time anything logo. It's one of the most iconic, recognizable, awesome-looking logos ever. Ever. That said, seeing it animated to laugh, I felt a little uncomfortable by that.
I think it's extra spooky. They had their graphics guy take extra time to make that just for their attack.
And it took him literally 17 seconds. And I would like to say work well done.
Want to put into your head the image of Dennis Nedry as Destro. Just let that simmer in your brain. See what that does for you.
Now,
Yeah,
thank you.
Cobra Commander.
Throughout this episode, we haven't talked about it. There's been a countdown sequence starting at 6 minutes somehow, and it's finally over.
It started way back. It was like four and a half hours or something like that.
Oh, was it that long?
They had to fly a distance to get to this place.
All right. Well, here's the deal. The countdown's over. We have been cutting to it intermittently through the episode. And once we hit zero, everything gets effed up. Cobra has taken over most of the systems of the submersible G.I. Joe base.
Yep.
And they say, we got to reset. We got to get this thing online. High tech in roughly 3 seconds knows the protocols for getting his ship back.
Sure.
He's talented.
That's his job. That's his thing. Yeah. That's why you give your shit to the smart tech guy.
And weirdly enough, the smart tech guy, had he been smarter, he would have got the Vamp and Dragonfly taken off the board as well. So hold up a second here.
Well, I mean, he was smart enough to keep those free just in case.
I mean, I believe it's going to work out. So we get those two vehicles and Destro's opening salvo. And I like this. He has the Vulture gunships, which are nothing to brag about. He drops a bunch of bats, battle android troopers, on the deck of the ship and starts fighting. And there is a massive battle that happens right now.
Don't hate it.
Yeah, I enjoyed this.
It was very fun.
Anytime androids rain from the sky, it's terrifying.
Anytime you get anime missiles, that's one of my favorite things in the world. Missiles just go flying and then they just go off in weird ass directions. And then there's like a cluster of them. And there's like 8 billion missiles, homing in on this one point. It really warms my heart.
You know what? Yeah. I didn't know I liked that until you said it. Now I like it. Yeah. Oh, and here's our Firefly moment. Firefly is late to the battle. And there's a bat about to take out the entire, bridge.
Wait, Chan has to play the moment instead of
okay,
you.
Go ahead. Yeah, he's not ready for
it. Is it hot out here, or is it just me?
Dude, I love it because, like, it gives me some very distinct Will Arnett, like, Joe Bluth moment. Like, right. Like, just that intonation is so ridiculous that it seems like a Will Arnett doing a buffoon, but they meant it to be cool.
Yeah, because he's coming out of a fire, you know, like a big old explosion. He's walking slowly and cool, and, you know.
And he has
and it is cool.
Yeah.
He's gearing up as he's doing it, and he's like putting his sunglasses down in a David Caruso moment, which would have already been a thing in 2006. But his intonation. Can we hear it one more time? Think Joe Bluth.
Is it hot out here, or is it just me?
Michael. This is like right before Joe Bluth does like a fire trick that goes horribly wrong.
I loved it. Yeah, Firefly is an absolute bamf in this moment. He just comes in and takes over the whole battle, saves everybody. I like that we are taking our time before inevitably Firefly disappoints us all. He's one of my favorite Cobra characters. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
This would genuinely be upsetting. Like if there was some real cool cool new guy at the office that everyone was like, oh wow, look at this dude. He's throwing out one-liners, he's playing with fire, he's got pants with tomatoes in them. That betrayal would hurt all the more.
I'm sorry. I was with you up until the pants part, and then I was like, you know what? Yeah, let him go. Let him go. We do not need that kind of, like, bruised produce in our organization.
No, he's got a little something extra. He's cool, and he's got nutritious goods.
On the scale of... I'm just going to say that tomato is not a superfood, all right? Like, the nutritional density of a tomato.
The only food that gets better the more you process it, because it has more lycopene added each time you're actually doing
Thank
something.
Thank you.
It's very versatile. I guarantee you do not go a week without either eating pasta sauce or ketchup. Or chicken tikka masala. I guarantee you.
We went pretty far afield.
Look, pasta. The rule of threes is hard, Chan.
I
was showing how versatile it is.
Yeah. Well, first off, chicken tikka masala is not about the tomato. It's about the cream. The ketchup is about the sugar, not about the tomato. And the pasta sauce. I mean, frankly, it depends on where you get it from.
Gina could have just gone with any pizza at all, but she decided to go with chicken tikka masala.
Yo, you don't like chicken tikka masala?
Wait, back up. What did you just say? Gina could have gone with any what?
Pizza. That thing that has tomato sauce on it.
Ray, do you think that chicken tikka masala is a pizza topping?
You know what? If you've been to...
786.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I do, sir. Yes, yeah. I do.
You do know that is a pizza topping based on an Indian dish, and that is why it is special and amazing. It's not just a pizza topping.
Guys, I'm just going to go ahead. Guys, all the rest of you just walk away. This is just for me and Chan to geek out about the pizza place right down the street from my house that makes chicken tikka masala pizza. That is one of the best tasting things outside of the Korean bulgogi pizza they make. The greatest pizza I've ever had in my entire life.
Chan, how do you pronounce that word that Ray just said?
Bulgogi.
Okay.
What am I, white?
Also, I would like it to put on the record that I was the one that introduced you to that restaurant. You didn't even know existed.
You did. And then he showed up on an episode of Hulu's Pizza Makers or whatever the hell it was called. And dude won the episode. Like, he's really good at pizza.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no.
He's also apparently some sort of libertarian weirdo. We try to ignore that when we buy the pizza.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah, that pizza's going to poison you at some point then because he believes in self-regulating.
Yeah, but like he also knows flavor. And he won't be hindered by the government on flavor. And I'm here for it.
You know what? The flavor tariffs that the Biden's been passing. That's terrible stuff, man.
Nobody on this show supports Joe Biden as president more than me. But the flavor tariffs have got to stop. Guy Fieri has been beaten down enough by you, Joe Biden. Let Flavortown thrive. I really wish we could just end the episode on that.
No one would complain.
They wouldn't.
Well, we've reached peak Fieri. Time to go.
Well, this is what we all tune in for.
Oh, ding, ding. Ray made the Guy Fieri reference. Time to bail out. Pull the cord, everybody. We're aborting.
I mean, we can't quite leave until, as I mentioned before, the boat lifts out of the water. It does a semi-transformation to look like the giant ass Macross ship, and then starts letting out missiles like the Macross ship. And I did not hate it. Stupid and silly, but like
in no sense.
Like if you're making an anime version of G.I. Joe, lean into that shit. Lean into those bits. That's how you're going to get me.
You're not wrong.
No.
Look, they reboot the system. We get it going right now. All the Vulture jets get destroyed in roughly 1.5 seconds. Destro, what were we testing here? These jets are nothing special.
No, they're not. Not even.
Cobra Commander was right to expose you. This is bullshit. The Orion cannon on the G.I. Joe ship becomes online. Immediately, Destro's crew is like, we need to back off. We are done. We have no more Vulture jets. The thing we were here to do is done. Let's go. Destro's like, no, man. We got him. And the Orion cannon is so powerful that G.I. Joe misses and still EMPs the entire airship that Destro is flying in and brings him down.
Yep, yep.
Every part of this is upsetting. Destro, look, but Destro is a bad field commander. He's a great inventor. He's a great businessman. If you put him in charge of troops, he sucks. He sucks so bad.
This seems like he needed Baroness here, to be honest.
Yes!
Yeah.
Baroness is a good field commander. Remember in original G.I. Joe, Destro marched his troops on vehicles through a minefield because he got single-minded in purpose. He is a bad general. He is a good everything else. Don't put Destro in charge of your troops, you idiot.
You know who should be put in charge of troops? A real multicultural person, someone who's white and represents the vast panoply of cultures that exist in our country and indeed the world.
Vamanos!
He's got my vote.
How many of these clips do you think I have?
I distinctly remember doing it twice in the episode. Whether he did it more than that, I can't say.
Hasta la vista. Ay, ay, ay.
Look, I still contend that that's spirit, and I'm not happy about it. I'm gonna move forward. Yeah. High tech says we got to trace the virus, and within again 2 seconds, he goes, "Oh, it was an inside job. This chip is from inside the ship. There's somebody inside the ship who's dropping it." Now, I contend. What if they swerve us and Firefly is not the saboteur?
Here's the thing.
Be kind of great.
I just watched the season four finale.
Yeah.
Of For All Mankind.
Brag much?
And there were not one, but two giant swerves.
Oh, like, I haven't watched it yet. Oh, my God.
Really, like.
Stop spoiling shit, Chan.
It made the episode for me. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe that they, like, sort of, like, teed this up for us and then didn't make it happen in a way that, like, worked, that made me happier.
Based on what you're saying, I never expected that plot line to work out.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, people die a lot in this show, and it's great. It's wonderful. It's a Ron D. Moore project, and it's fantastic.
It's a very good show.
You like people die, and you're like, oh, God, no, please don't go. And so you're, like, lining up, expecting to see some people die, and when they don't, I'm like, oh, my God, look how they played me. It feels great because, like,
I introduced Robert Clark Chan to For All Mankind after I had finished season three. And he's like, maybe I'll check it out. Robert Clark Chan is that type of Christian that a Christian brings into the fold and then somehow becomes more Christian than you. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? Robert Clark Chan is that person. But For All Mankind, the wonderful show on Apple TV.
Indeed. My point being that this show will not do that. It absolutely will not swerve us in a way that subverts our expectations and delights us simultaneously.
My cat has lost patience for this podcast, which means we've got to wrap it up soon.
Oh, this is over very soon. Gina, we're like 45 plus minutes before we would normally end. And yet, here's you complaining.
Listen, Gina, if you would just catch up to For All Mankind, then you'd be on board with us. And you tell your cat to go take a hike.
Anyway, they find out it's an inside job. And the Dragonhawk gets stolen. They thought Lieutenant Stone was aboard. Even, and this is absurd to me, because story-wise, we see Lieutenant Stone get out of the vehicle. We see the vehicle fly away. Then the people in the bridge go, oh, the Dragonhawk's flying away. Is Lieutenant Stone on board? Is he the traitor? But we as an audience know, no, idiots, he is not. And then almost immediately, somebody's like, oh, there's Lieutenant Stone. I think it's even Firefly. There's Lieutenant Stone on the deck. It just took off on its own. Why? Why did we need that moment? I don't think we did.
You are correct.
Oh, make that my ringtone till the end of time.
he never said your name, so.
You know what? I know. And it's only for me anyway. It's my ringtone.
It has the world weariness of a Chan that's 7 years older. Because if you had got him back in the day when it was like, you're correct, that would have been a lot more satisfying, I think, rather than the sort of defeated.
No, I think Ray wants you defeated.
No, oh, okay. The defeated Chan honestly gets me to sleep at night.
Perfect. We've nailed it, you guys.
Yeah, and then that's literally the hard out of the episode. What I like about the Hasbro channel, they don't mess around with closing credits. You get one moment, we're in the next episode. Shut up.
Boom.
It's wonderful.
They're hoping they can just slide them in without you noticing.
Get them views. Get them views.
And you know what? It's worked on more than one occasion for me. I'd be like,
it's gonna work.
What happened? We're in the next episode. God damn it.
I'm still waiting for Gina to not realize that another episode has started and then to get like 10 minutes into the next one before she realizes and then like hit us with spoilers in the previous episode.
Oh no, the second the credits start, I set
there's
my
no credits. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, did I watch two episodes?
You might have, Gina. Boy. I'm sorry.
Wait, did we all see when Firefly became president?
Oh, whoa. My God. Oh, no. She's jumped ahead.
Oh, Yeah. Also, Ed Baldwin becomes president in For All Mankind, fourth episode, two, season four finale.
And then Al Gore becomes president.
Yeah, except that Al Gore actually is president in For All Mankind.
I wish I lived there.
No.
Yeah. Anyway. So we're ending here. Go to facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Go to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. We love you. If you're a Patreon patron, we just know that we appreciate you, and we know we don't do enough for you. And come the new year, New Year's resolutions, we would like to.
The New Year's already
I would like to do more things. I would like to do a lot.
He means 2025 New Year. Yeah.
Listen. No, what I would like to do is, you know, we've done this before. A live recording with the fans listening and providing commentary as we go. And quite honestly, I think that's been very successful in the past. Let's do it again.
We'll do that. We also are coming up soon-ish on the movie, the
G.I. Joe movie
from like 2009.
The live action. We still have some months to go before then. Let's not get too. We just started this season.
You know what? I'm gonna black out the interim episodes and just wake up when the movie's here.
Not a surprise.
I can't wait for that movie.
It's a very. There's so much wrong with that movie.
I think I have only seen it twice, and not for a while, and not in a while. So I'm excited to now watch it, knowing who every single character is.
That's gonna make you so mad. It's gonna make you so upset.
Also, patrons, we will get a book going, so you can look forward to that. I guess
we're writing a book.
You mean a Find Your Fate book, Robert Clark Chan?
Can I
put this on the schedule right now?
No, I've got a 20-year-old cat I've got to go feed.
I mean, put it on the schedule, not do the book right now.
Yeah, I know, but that'll be 15 more minutes of us talking schedules.
Yeah, we should probably just end it now. Take a man, heavy duty on the scene. Snake eyes, hand to hand, long range, lean and mean. Scarlet, ready to fight. Can a red ignite?
Wherever Cobra strikes, wherever they attack, G.I. Joe will fight. There's no turning back. Joe! G.I. Joe is there. Sigma 6!
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming. And we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss, and I'm playing my Pokemon, and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me.
Oh my god.
Like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.